Hashem returning to Eretz HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Seif Gimel, page Lamed Zayin. I want to finish the Perek. Of course, the subject of the Perek is the tzar, the anguish of a bittul Torah. And what that means, lost opportunity, missed time from learning, and how that affects a person, and the different types of bittul Torah. We spoke about quantitative bittul Torah and qualitative bittul Torah, and the quality of Torah, the madrega that a person could be on. And again, it's not just with learning, it's bechlal, with avodas Hashem. Each person has different kaychas, different kishreinas. For one person could be, for that same avodah could be, for one person, an unbelievable achievement. Obviously, for another person, he's far, far below what he should be accomplishing in life. So there are different types of bittul Torah. And if a person is not drawing himself to that point of what he can accomplish, what he can do. So then that's called by Chazal, the way Rav Kook explains it, Ma'asel Shel Torah. He's Ma'as in that Torah that is waiting for him, in that Torah that he was created to be able to cover, to, and that Avodah he was created to accomplish. By neglecting that, it's a bechina of ma'asel shel Torah chlila, of a rejection of Torah. Seif Gimel, yesh shazmanim shemizbatlam ha'Torah. There are times, Rav Kook says, where as a result of bittul Torah, for whatever reason, the person was not able to be engaged in learning. That the person was not learning. But yesha zmanim shem izbatle mehatayra, davke through the bittul Torah, heim poalim lahair esainayim, that the time of bittul Torah has the long-term effect of opening the person's eyes. Lakir as Teichen Kedushas HaTorah, to recognize and to appreciate more the Teichen Kedushas HaTorah, the great holy content of Torah, what Torah is, how Torah, what Torah brings that person in his life. Or we have the expression, there are a number of expressions in Chazal, Bitula Zuhi Kiyuma, means sometimes Bittul Torah, even though Bittul Torah, of course, is itself a tragedy, but bitula zuhi kiyuma, sometimes through a person not being able to learn, being held back from learning. Sometimes the reasons are justifiable, sometimes not. But through that bitula zuhi kiyuma, the person realizes, ach, how did I live that way? And to return to the sefer, to return to the yeshiva, to come back to learning, with a new fire, with a new ahava, that sometimes, like Chazal say also, there is such a thing, that in order to be oymed al divrei Torah, in order to be able to keep the Torah, and to appreciate the Torah, and to love Torah, sometimes, it comes through a failure, through some problem. So here too, Rav Kook says, "Yesha zmanim shemizbatlim ha'tayra." Sometimes, as a result of bittul Torah, it's not something that a person, God forbid, plans. We're not talking about an intentional hiatus from learning in order to be able to have more learning afterwards. But the person, for whatever happened, whatever reason, he's mizbatlim from Torah. But the result of that is that heim poalim lahayir esainayim, his eyes have become opened. Lakir is teichen kedushas ha'Torah. To recognize the great contents of the Kedusha of Torah. I've met older people that were not learning for 50, 60 years. But they learned when they were younger. I'm sure you've met people like this too. And they weren't learning for many, many, many years. And they were far removed from Torah. And Hashem, however it happens, the Messiah of Kol HaSibus brings them back. And And that which they gave up, they realized that what they had when they were younger is something that they've never been able to replace them. There's no substitute for that in life. For oimek hachaim, that the eyes are open to see the great depth of life. Shehi mashpia alim der, that the Torah is mashpia, the great oimek hachaim, the Torah is mashpia on those who learn Torah. Sometimes you can't appreciate that unless there's some bittul Torah, bitula zuhikiyuma. Or they say by the Goyim, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Of course, sometimes a person can drift, God forbid, totally away. We're not talking about that. Dalet. Those who will learn the Eretz HaTshuva will remember this. We're not going to go back and learn it inside there, but in the 14th parak, we spent a lot of time on this. Miyut Mesikus Ni'imus HaTorah. What happens when a person feels some of the sweetness and the pleasantness of Torah fading away in his life? Whereas the learning used to be with such a geschmack, I mean, now there's a miyut. There's something that's been diminished in the mesikus and the sweetness and the ne'imus of Torah. This applies again, Torah/Avodas Hashem. That there's a miyut in the mesikus and the ne'imus of learning Torah and living Torah. So if Cook says that miyut mesikus ne'imus haTorah ba mechisaron b'teva hiYisraeli shel haNeshama, it's unnatural for a Jew not to feel the sweetness of Torah. It's unnatural. There's something pathologically wrong. There's something pathologically wrong with this Yid. It doesn't feel the sweetness of Torah. If there's a person, there's somebody who's not well, like the Rambam talks about this. Nisim, you left them. There's somebody that's not well. So a person that doesn't taste the sweetness of food. This is a person that's not well, and he can't taste the food. The natural, healthy state of a Jew is that there's nothing as sweet as Torah. There's nothing as delicious as learning. That's the natural state of a person, of a Yid. That means that if somebody does not taste in his learning or in his Avodas Hashem, does not taste that sweetness and that ne'imus, it's a sign that there's chisaron b'teva hayisraeli shel haneshama, that there's something unnatural that's going on in his life, that there's a perversion of the healthy, normal status quo of a Yid. Something's wrong. So a person can say, this Rebbe, I don't understand this Rebbe, the Shiurim I don't understand, or I don't find this Shiurim interesting. You could say that, and you can go from this Rebbe, or then you have guys that are jumping from one yeshiva to another yeshiva. This yeshiva doesn't do it, this yeshiva is not that yeshiva. In this yeshiva I don't like the mashgiach, and this yeshiva I don't like the yeshiva. In this yeshiva I don't like the food, and this yeshiva I don't like the chairs, and that yeshiva I don't like the air conditioning, whatever. And you have guys that go like that from one yeshiva to the next. If I'd be in Eretz Yisrael in the yeshiva, then it would be, I was happy when I used to be in Eretz Yisrael, I was happy, and now I'm not happy, and so on. Of course, there are conditions that change from one place to the next, and one should try to find a place where he could be happy. But I remember when I was younger and I wanted to go from one place to a different place, my father's response to that was, it's the same Masechta Chulin over there and over there. What's the difference if you tell, why do you have to pick up the Gemara and go over there? Just, why don't you just learn the Gemara where you are? So I said, no, that is this Rebbe and this and my father. I said, nah. He wasn't this Paul from that. He said, if you have Masech Techun, you're learning Masech Techun, which I was learning that year. So my father said, then you learn Masech Techun. It's very, very good. It's very good Gemara. You learn the Gemara and stay wherever you are, you'll be happy. But if you, other things, if there are other Cheshbainas, then no matter where you go, and it's this Masechta, it's that Masechta, it's this Limud, it's that Limud, there's something wrong. Of course, again, there are situations where obviously a person should seek an ideal place for him where he could concentrate and quiet, and he feels a connection to the guys and to the Rebbe, or whatever. I mean, it goes without saying. But the bottom line is, if a person sees in himself or in herself that learning, and the learning Yiddishkeit, has lost its mesikus, the sweetness is not there. It means that, and you could blame this yeshiva, you could blame this Rebbe, you could blame the print of your Gemara. That, what kind of print is this? You could say everything, but there's something wrong. I mean, doesn't mean right away that it could be that there's not something with the conditions. And Rebbe Akiva Eger writes that once you try to print nice font, that they should be printed nicely, it makes it easier to learn. All of those things are good. But Rav Kook says, miut, if you see over time, miut, mesikus, ni'imus, ha'tayra, bom, chisarim, b'teva, yisraeli, shal, neshama, is that something's not right. Because the teva, ha'yisraeli, shal, neshama, is to be lovesick over Tyra. Is to be meshuga with Tyra. That's the natural teva of a Jew. when you see a little baby, one of the saddest things, when you see a little child that's not feeling well. Normally the kids are going crazy, running. You don't know how to protect the house from the child. There's so many, this baby, this kid's doing so much stuff, and then the kid has a fever, and it's just another, like, right? And then you wish that the kid would be breaking something, would be back to his mischief. His sister, like a lamocha, like this. And you try to make a joke, you try to make some funny thing, to play with him a little bit, and he gives a little smile. There's something not right. The natural, healthy state of a child is that he should be running around and breaking stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to break, but usually that's what they do. To have a good time. I mentioned a number of times over the years that it happened that somebody went to visit. There was a Rashid that went to visit the Biskarov. And the Biskarov, he had Eniklach, whatever, children, Eniklach. They were running around making a balagan. So this Rashid came, he had to talk to the Biskarov, and he wanted to talk. And these children, they're making a balagan. And the Rashid was getting very annoyed. And the Biskarov said to him, you know, that they're only acting in a way that Hashem made us. And we're the ones that have lost that natural simcha, that natural way of life. We've lost it. The children still have it. So if someone is not feeling the mesikus and the ne'imus of Torah, Yiddishkeit, so then there's a chesaron b'teva Yisraeli shel neshama. Something is wrong. Not talking about for a day or two. A person could be going through a day or two. But if there's a steady decrease in one's cheshek, which leads to a state of bittul Torah, means that there's something that's disturbing the natural equilibrium of the soul. And what that usually is, of course, and what one has to try to think about, it usually means that there's something in that person's life that needs to be fixed. Tshuva. That's what Rav Kook is focusing, of course, on in Ayis HaTshuva. And even if a person, every one of us can think of stuff. Our problem is that there are too many things. We can't sort it. We can't pick the our favorite. There's so many things. But tshuva. Shetzichin l'sakna de tshuva mekuvenes l'chisar v'nezeh. Sometimes a tzaddik can help. Person goes to a tzaddik can identify when he talks to the person through the conversation. The tzaddik can pick up a big tzaddik by seeing a person, but in outdoor it's very, very rare such a thing. But by talking to the person and asking what's going on, what's happening in your life, and so on, to get a sense of what chisaron there is in that individual's avaida, or what chisaron there is in something in a midah, whatever it is. That's not going into that now. The kevin shanayisnim is adas l'saknes a chisaron. It could be something that doesn't look like such a big deal. It doesn't have to be God who did some horrible, monstrous avaira chas v'shalom. could be what one would think is, it looks like a smaller thing, like a kleinigkeit. But it throws that person's off balance, and we don't know. Regular people don't usually have the eyes for this. Those who are the tzaddikim have much more of a sensitivity to these things, and the big tzaddikim don't have to even talk to the person. They could see it in the kvittel. They could see it in his eyes. They could see it in his forehead. The kevin shenayistam is adas l'sakin is chesaron, and when the person tries to find the chesaron, oftentimes it's something that's been put on the side for many, many years. And it might not be the biggest thing, as I said, but it's something that he knows or she knows needs to be taken care of, and it hasn't been. Or something that was going well for many, many years, and now is off. But the ikar is that the person tries to identify the chisaron in any way that he or she can, and she knows the misadas l'sakna si chisaron, and tries to think of ways to fix the chisaron. Shnoisna sadas l'sakna si chisaron. Even before the chisaron has been completely fixed, as we spoke a lot about then in Oris HaTshuva, miyad, immediately, just by setting oneself back on course and committing oneself to fixing the chisaron, even before it's been fixed. But you're back on the program. That has an unbelievable influence in bringing the neshama back on course, bringing the person, not the essence of the neshama, but bringing the person back on course. And as a result of that, miyad chayzer ha'or ha'elyon shel ha'tevel ha'kodesh shel ha'neshama l'zorach, immediately the supernal light, that great exalted light of the teva ha'kodesh, of the holy nature of the neshama, begins to shine. And again, the teva ha'kodesh of a Jewish soul is to be meshuggah with learning, is to love learning Torah, is to love Yiddishkeit, to love mitzvahs, to love davening. That's the natural, healthy state of a Jew. And mimele, chizeres mesikus ha'Torah lahaschil lihigalos. The sweetness of Torah, of learning and living Torah, begins once again to be revealed in that person's life. Back then we spoke a lot about this. So when it comes to miut misikus nimus atara, bitl tara, a person should look at all the different conditions of the environment of his life and the conditions of his life and so on to try to see what could be done. But one should not neglect the ikur. The ikur is there chisaron? Is there some hole that needs to be filled, that I've been neglecting, and what has changed in my avodah, in my life, what has changed that would have led, possibly, to there being a miut in the mesikus and the imus atayra. So you have people that they're looking for different schoolers. The ikur is tshuva. What's missing from your life is that you don't wear a red string around your wrist. That's not what's missing from your life. Not one ring and a bracelet, not two bracelets. What's tshuva? Tshuva. And if a person doesn't know what the chesaron is, and you don't have someone that's helping you, you have to ask Hashem, you have to beg Hashem, and that already will bring back the aura, the masikas of Torah, just by trying and by asking Hashem, help me to understand what is it that's wrong. Show me what's causing this disruption that I'm not feeling the aura of the neshama of Torah. Help me to see what that is, and show me what it is, and help me to fix it. And through the tefillah, it's through those tefillahs and through those tchinas, a person already will begin to feel a tremendous difference just by asking, by davening, one begins to feel a tremendous difference. Hey. Hasara Pnimi. Rav Kook talks here about Gehenna. About Gehenna. It's not often in his writings. Maybe you can get chairs there. There's a chair here. It makes me feel a bit, so don't do it. Hatzara Pnimi. The anguish, the inner anguish that a Jew feels by recognizing how much is missing his shleimus, how much is missing a chesaron ha'ashlama shel haneshama, how his neshama is not bringing about in his life the shleimus in ma'isim and what he's doing, the yedias and what he knows. He looks at himself. He says, I have so little. There's so little Torah that I have, and so the yedias ubedeis. Deis also means midas. He looks at himself. Hilchas deis in the Rambam is about midas. So he sees the big chesronos. And as a result of that, he has terrible tsar pnimi. He feels tsar pnimi. Now, Rav Kook's not talking here about averus. He's talking about chisar and hashlama. He's talking about averus, that's something else. He's talking about chisar and hashlama. He sees how lacking he is, how much is missing from the shlemas in his maisim, in his yedias, in his deis, in his midas. The yichud bekinyan atayr, in particular, for a guy, the kinyan atayr, how much is missing? This tsar pnimi that the person feels, Heim Yisuri HaGehenim HaMisgabim. Rav Kook says, these Heim Yisuri HaGehenim HaMisgabim. You should know that in his life, right now, what he's experiencing is Yisuri Gehenim. The suffering of Gehenim. Heim Yisuri HaGehenim HaMisgabim that are becoming stronger and stronger. Shem Boim, he says a very strong line. This is from the Medrash. I'll read you the Medrash in a second. Shem Boim, Hafichas Haponim, Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Milohoyer al Neshama. What's the Yisuri Gehenim? Gehenim is not a big barbecue or something. Gehenim, like the Maral always explains, and all the Svarim, Gehenim is an Indian of Heder. And the absence of God, what appears to be the absence of God, Hestapon, that's Gehenim. There's a Metzias, there's some sort of a dimension of existence that's a place of an Indian of Heder and Helam, of emptiness. That's Gehenna. So what is the Gehenna that a person suffers from in life? And this is what it is. Because a person who feels Hashem's presence in his life and Hashem's love, person who feels that and who knows that, like I spoke about Shabbos HaGadol from Rabbi Nachman, that in the fourth Torah, that a person who knows Shekol Ma'irayis V'Him L'Tayva L'Tzabchina Me'in Olam Haba, the person knows that every single thing is Hashem, and everything is L'Tehosai. And Hashem, and he feels Hashem's face. He feels the Ha'aris Ponim of the Bari Olam. Then that's Me'ein Olam Haba. That's Me'ein Olam Haba. The opposite of Me'ein Olam Haba is Me'ein Gehenim. That means that the root of all suffering is not the actual deprivation that a person might feel, whether it's in panasa or shidduch, or God forbid, with health, whatever. Because you could see two people. One person has a serious machla, God forbid, the other person has a cold. And the person with the cold is krechzing and complaining that life is terrible, this is the third cold he has this winter. And the guy that has a serious machla is not complaining. Even though physically the suffering of the person with that sickness is much greater than this guy with the cold. But one person is a Gehenim, the other person is in Gan Eden. One person is a Gehenim, the other person is a Me'ein Olam Haba. Because the root of all Yisur always come back to that question of He'aris Panim or Hester Panim. If there's He'aris Panim, if one senses He'aris Panim, the shining face of Hashem, it's Me'ein Olam Haba. Even though there's this pain, there's this difficulty, it's Me'ein Olam Haba. We've met Jews like that. If it's Hafichas Aponim Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, if Hashem's face is Chalila turned the other way, then it's Me'ein Gehenim. And we've met people like that too. Sometimes in the mirror. Hafichas Aponim Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem's face is turned, and he's not shining upon that person's neshama, Hashem's face is not shining upon that neshama because of a chisar. And this is not just for an hour or for a day, but it's not b'hefora tadiris. Regularly, consistently. The fi'oisa hamida shechsiris kinyana haruchni, according to the measure that person is missing, he's lacking, he's neglecting in acquiring ruchnius, in growing in his avaida and his learning. Shekol mekor hachayim boitolui. The source of life depends completely, hu kinyan ha-tayra, on the kinyan, on acquiring more and more tayra. First, let's see what the exact lashon is of the Medrash. You see on the bottom, he brings there that the source is in the Medrash Mishli. Let me read you the whole, that's only a sentence. Let me read to you the Medrash. Amr, you don't have that inside. Amr Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Boyu Urei, Kamakoshi Yem Hadin. Yishmael says, come and see how difficult is the day of judgment. She'osa Kadosh Baruch Hu Lodin is Kol Ha'ilam Kulay Ve'emig Yishofen. That Hashem is going to bring the entire world to judgment. In that place that's called Emig Yishofen, it's a place, but it means the place of judgment. The valley of judgment. The Kevin Shetamachachim Ba'olafonav. So Yishmael says, the Tamachachim comes for judgment. Oymalai, klum asakta b'tayra. So he's asked, are you Isaac and Tayra? Amahen, yeah. He says, yeah. Amakash Baruch Hohel Vahidesa. Since you acknowledged that you're a person that learned, Emor lefanai masha karisa masha shanisa. Tell me over what you learned. Karisa is in Tanakh and shanisa in Teresh Baal Peh. Mishnah is. Tell me what you learned. I'd like to hear what you learned. Mikan omru kol ma shekara odom yehi tofes biyodai. And that's why, Rabbi Yishmael says, that's why whatever person learned, yeah, tofes biyodai, he should try to hold on to. He should try to hold on to have what to say. So, hold on, I'll get my MP, you know, I'll get my thing. It has on it 14,000 shiurim. So that's not what it means. Yet tofes biyodai. When we come to that place, you can have to put all the machines into a box. That's gonna be the first thing. Emptying out. I says, come on. There's still Bluetooth in there someplace. come on. Something. All right. Think. The last everything. That's what's gonna be. Everything. No more. No more wires. No more things. Finished. Everything in the box. So then the question is, what do you have in your hand? No, what did you do? What do you have? So he says, Rabbi Shmuel says, you can omu komash akara odom yetofus biyodo. You have to do your best. Obviously, people have tried, they have different koiches of memory. Komash akara odom yetofus biyodo. Whatever you in Tanakh, yetofus biyodo. You should have it. What you learned in Torah Shabbat Peh, te tofus biyodo. Hold on to it. Shaloi tasigehu busho uchlim aliyam hadin. So you shouldn't be overtaken by embarrassment and humiliation on the Day of Judgment. Hoya Rabbi Yishmael Oimer. Oy lo isa busha. Oy lo isa chlim. Yishmael used to say, it means he didn't say this once, Hoya Rabbi Yishmael Oimer. Like we're starting Pekavis. Should have started already. Shabbos is the first parak. Hu Hoya Oimer. Hu Hoya Oimer. So it means, Hu Hoya Oimer. He used to say, he didn't just say it once. Hu Hoya Oimer. He used to say. So Rabbi Yishmael used to say, Oy lo isa busha, oy lo isa chlima. And this is what David Melech davened. He cried to Hashem. V'amar, Hashem boikeh tishma keili. Hashem, in the morning, tishma keili, David Melech would cry, would daven for this, that he should be able to come to the Yom HaDin with his Torah, the Yodo. Talmuda biyado, to come with his learning. Bo mishiyesh biyado mikra, if a person comes there, and he has Tanakh, and he gets tested in Tanakh, he comes there and he has to learn. Yeah, what do you have? It's Tanakh. The aim biyado mishnah, and he, like we learned a few weeks ago, he could have learned, not talking about someone that couldn't, but he, for whatever the reason was, he could have. He could have learned Mishnah, so Mishi Mikra, and he's all excited because he's come to the Yom HaDin because he's going to be tested on Parshas Vayigash or something, and he did all the Rashi's on Vayigash, and he's all happy because it's going to be Gevaldik. Ve'ein b'yodah Mishnah, but he was a person that could have learned Mishnah. It's ve'ein b'yodah Mishnah, or whatever that thing is that he could have learned. We're not going into that. We spoke about that, and he could have, and he didn't. It's what he could have, and he didn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoifech es panav mimenu. It's a terrible thing. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoifech panav mimenu. Hashem turns his face from the person. That's the worst thing. Histata panecha hayisi nivho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoifech es panav mimenu. Hashem turns his face from him. Umitzirei gehenim is gabram boy. And the torture and the suffering of Gehenim comes upon him like the wolves of the night. And they come, these wolves come, and they take him, and they throw him into Gehenna. Cheerful thought for Shabbos? That's only after this world. I know people who live in Gehenna in this world on Shabbos. You don't know anybody like that? I know people like that. I know people that for them, Shabbos is the biggest Gehenna. Not just that it doesn't matter. In the next world, but in this world, Shabbos is... So, that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. That's the Medrash. Now let's come back and let's see again. So Cook interprets what Rabbi Shmuel is saying about the Yisuri Gehenim, that we shouldn't think of that only in terms of the afterlife. If Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that the Yisurim of Gehenim, Mitzayri Gehenim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoifech Es Panav Mimenu Mitzayri Gehenim Mizgav Mbaik Is Eivei Erev U'Mashlich Naisal Gehenim. But that's exactly the point. We're not talking here. The Ik is not after this life. The Ik is Gehenim in this life. The Gehenim in this life that a person experiences is the same what the Gehenim is in the next life. The Gehenim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoifech Es Panav Mimenu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his head this way, Chalila, when Hashem turns his face from you, that is Gehenna. That's Gehenna. And when it says, U'mashlich nesel Gehenna, he's thrown into Gehenna, that's what people, there are people who live in that Gehenna, lo aleinu, in this world. And it could be that they have their health, and they have panosa. If a person is able to identify the cause for the hafichas panim, he's already in the top percentile of the world, of men, of mankind. He's looking for, what is it that would have caused, what is it in my life that would cause such a hafichas panim? Rav Kook is saying here that the ikir inyan that one needs to look at, to study, okay, I'm not talking about prost aveiros, but little Torah. And the tsar, meaning neglecting Torah. And the tsar, each person according to his level. That's what we're learning. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, whatever it is. Time, both in time and in the quality of one's learning. Like the Gemara says there in Brachos. Yisurim Shalhava. What was the learning of Daf Shavua? We're learning. Yisurim Shalhava, Bittul Torah. Yeshima Bittul Torah. Enima Bittul Torah. The whole sugya of suffering. The ikir is that a person is toiled on biddle Torah. Yifashir for ma'isav. To go for one's ma'isim, to look at one's life, and to try to make an honest accounting of one's chisrainus, that would in any way cause a hafichas panim, Hashem to turn away a little bit. If you're able to identify this chisrain, that problem, this aveir, God forbid, that thing, of course, you try to do tshuva, even by trying. That turns Hashem's head back around. If a person can't identify, the Gemara says, then he should be toiled in Bittul Torah. To be toiled in Bittul Torah means that Bittul Torah is something that one always has to be most attentive to. Because besides that it's one of the hardest things, and besides that, it's also such a demanding, tremendous demanding mitzvah, it also has the greatest power to heal, the greatest power to cure a person. There is nothing that draws Hashem's face back as much as Torah. Nothing. See, we see that by the Gemara says that by the second Beis Hamikdash. You see that by the Beis Hamikdash, Shel Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila, that when the Gemara goes to the root of the Churban, the root of the Churban was that they didn't say Berachas Torah. Which Rabbi Yonah explains in the Farshim, that doesn't mean they didn't say Berachas Torah. Of course, every Jew says Berachas Torah when you get up in the morning. You say the Brachas. It's not hard. It takes a half a second. You say Berachas Torah. So it doesn't mean Shel Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Everybody says Birchas HaTorah. But like Rabbi Yonah says, that they didn't appreciate Torah. They didn't see it as the tchila of life. They didn't see it as the foundation, the beginning of one's life. So Chazal say that we know that by the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't like the first Beis HaMikdash. By the first Beis HaMikdash, so there was Avodah Zarah, Gilarei, Shvichas Dam, there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on their Madrega, but there was crazy stuff. Idol worship and murder and all kinds of things, crazy things. But then by the second Beis HaMikdash, not only that, they were learning. So here Rav Kook is telling us that the tsar ha-pnimi, the anguish that a person feels, because we're talking about a chash of a person. It means that he's been thrown into Gehenna. Not with devils and demons and not with fires. He's been thrown into the Gehenna of, he's in the Gehenna of Hashem's face being turned away. And that doesn't mean that Hashem's not looking after him and taking care of him. You have that with a father and a mother too. They take care of you, but doesn't mean that you're not taken care of. But, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hoifech Hespanav Mimenu. Hoifech Hespanav Mimenu. I just had a conversation with my mother over the phone. So my mother wanted me to do something. I was trying to make an arrangement for her, something else. So my mother was saying, like, okay. I says, okay, ma. So she says, okay. She says, what should I say? It's not okay. It's okay. You ever have that kind of conversation? Okay. So ma, I'm trying to, you know, so I'm not going to do it myself. I have it taken care of. Okay, so what should I say? So but my everything's gonna be okay. So said, okay, so I'm not complaining, it's okay. So yeah, okay. No, it's not the same thing. It's a hoifach panim, it's a hafichas panim. And I don't want to get off the phone like that. So of course at the end then. So I'm going on Monday to the but it was a hafichas panim. I don't want to get off the phone like that. And does that mean that she doesn't love me? She loves me. She's looking after me. Yeah. She cares about everything. Yes. And the children, everybody is okay. Everything's fine. Yeah. But hafichas panim is yisur gehenna. It's yisur gehenna. The person knows that. That's yisur gehenna. So this person in Sif Dalet, in Sif Hay, is a chosh of a person. Because it bothers him, the chesoinus bother him, and he feels it's tzar pnimi. Sometimes a person hasn't identified that. He's just feeling a terrible tzar pnimi, and he's not coming to what it is, where it's coming from. But him bar mahafichas hapanim shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, milahoyer ha-neshama. It's all we daven for, that there should be ha'oras panim. Not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us life and say, okay, here. It should be with ha'oras panim. And if you ask Amida Shechsir is Kinyana Haruchani, if one is honest enough to look and to think about what is it that's missing. So, when it comes to learning Torah, that's a very, very important place to look. Shekol Makar Chaim by Tavu. It's a Makar Chaim. If a person is missing in that, so then Hashem's face can be affected, kivyachol, by that. Who kinyan ha-Torah, which is acquiring Torah. It's now in Sfiras HaOmer. All the whole time now is a time of kinyan ha-Torah. It's in the yeshivas. it's not just a matter of increasing one's learning, but like even learning the kinyonim in the Mishnah Novice, or at the end of Novice, the kinyonim of Torah. And that's where Rav Kook continues in Sivov on page Lamaches. Chayser Torah hu Gehenna Ba'atzmai. Chayser Torah, lack of Torah, each person according to his level. Chayser Torah hu Gehenna Ba'atzmai. That itself is Gehenna. Chayser Torah hu Gehenna Ba'atzmai. V'shetef harotzen hachitzayni sheneged harotzen hapnimi, the flood, shetef, the flood of what? Of harotzen hachitzayni, of external ritzaynis, shallow, silly, superficial, physical ritzaynis, and so on. That flood, v'shetef harotzen hachitzayni sheneged harotzen hapnimi, that is standing against, fighting against the shetef that should be of the rotzen hapnimi, of one's inner will, of one's inner rotzen. Hu meitzrei gehenem hamisgabrim lifi oisai ha'erech shalmanias or hatayim. Do you want to look at your life and to figure out whether you're in Gan Eden or you're in Gehenem? In this world, where are you? Are you in Gan Eden or are you in Gehenna? Doesn't have to be that suffering and dead. There's a difference. The person who is flooded with Ratzon Chitzayni, with Ratzon Chitzayni. Okay, it's Erev Shabbos Parsha Kedoshim. That means that everybody's looking forward to Shabbos. It's in a few hours, Mitzvah Shem. So why are you looking forward to Shabbos? Why? So if the thought of Shabbos Parshas Kedoshim opens up a shetef, a flood, of Mitzaynis, of Ratzon Chitzayni, because it's a long Shabbos, I'll be able to get not just an hour nap, I'll be able to have a 3-hour nap. Because we're not just having a regular challah, we're having a challah after having matzahs, and it's a challah with a key on it. And I'm having my favorite foods I couldn't have, I was deprived. Pesach, whatever. Understand the picture. If it's a rotzen chitzayin, it's a shetef, if when you think of Shabbos, the excitement of Shabbos is because of a shetef, it lets in a flood of rotzen chitzayini. So, okay, it's still better than a person that's not going to be keeping Shabbos. That's a good thing, the person keeps Shabbos, that's for sure. Also the top percentile of life. But one should be feeling a Ratzon Pnimi for Shabbos. Parshas Kedoshim, what a parasha. Rav Gufei Tari Tuliyim Ba. The whole Torah is in Parshas Kedoshim. So Chazal say, the whole Torah is Parshas Kedoshim. Huh? I don't hear. That's Klal Gadol B'Torah. But on the Parsha B'Chlal, it was said to the entire Jewish people, called Dasmi, because Rashi says, Gufei Torah Tuliyim Ba, that the main principles of Torah are all wrapped up in the Parsha's Kedoshim. And more than anything, the Parsha begins, Hashem says, Kedoshim to you. A person has a rotzen to be Kaddish. So that means it's an exciting Parsha. This is a very exciting Shabbos. What are you excited about? I'm excited about the challah. Okay, that goes back to what we were talking about this morning. Are you excited about Kedoshim to you? Kedoshim to you. So a person who has a shetef of Ratzon Chitzayni, it's a symptom. The shetef, that individual who is normally not like that, who is normally filled with all kinds of ruchnis dikah things, and feels now in his life or her life a shetef, a flood of ratzon chitzayni. I just want to sleep. I just want to eat. I just want to whatever. That's a simon of hafichas panav shel kadosh baruch hu. Yisur gehenna. If you think about it, obviously a person doesn't care about any of this his Gan Eden is when he has that piece of kugel and he closes his eyes and says, this is a Gan Eden. That's his Gan Eden. But a person who's sensitive to this, an Oved Hashem Biritzinut, a serious Oved Hashem, who is experiencing a shetif of Ratzon Chitzayni, a flood of Ratzon Chitzayni, of silly Ritzaynis, or whatever, unimportant Ritzaynis, that are somehow overcoming his Ratzon HaPnimi, that he usually has. We're talking about a person that's a big person. It's overcoming the Ratzon HaPnimi. Who mitzerei gehenim? Who mitzerei gehenim hamisgabim lefi oisa erech shal menias or ha-Torah? It's the fire of Gehenim that is getting strong in that person to the degree that the light of Torah is not shining upon him, which is, as we learned, the way of saying that Hashem's face is turned away. So the beginning is to make a cheshbon. If it's a long Shabbos, Parshas Kedoshim, if it's a long Shabbos, the Vezaycha this year, to such a long Shabbos Kedoshim, and we have Kedoshim all to itself, not even overwhelmed by Achrimais Kedoshim, just Kedoshim, we have a Shabbos. We don't have it all the time. A long Shabbos, just Kedoshim. If a person asks, what can I learn this Shabbos? How much can I learn this Shabbos? Make a cheshbon. You'll forgive me for being so practical. That tomorrow, by the time you get back from shul, and you have a suda, let's say it's 2 o'clock, and you have people that this is very hard with a lot of children, and behind her, and it takes longer until everything finishes, so let's say 2:30, 2:45. Like I said, there were tzaddikim that the suda Shabbos was a half hour, because of the rotzon to learn. But let's say, so by two thirty, that's a fair. I think that's a pretty fair thing. 2:30 means davening is a finish, and this and you finish eating. So a person should have a menucha Shabbos. So let's say a person could lie down for an hour. Is that enough? An hour, hour and a half. With Jews, an hour and a half. Person lies down. So it's 4 o'clock, right? You lie down for an hour and a half, which is already a little bit of a schluff rest, so you understand this. An hour and a half is a lot. So it's 4 o'clock. So you have, that means until, you have, for the guys, you have until Mincha, over 3 hours, yeah? Over 3 hours. It means to go to a shiur, to learn Pirkei Avos. I'm not even talking about Friday night. I'm not talking about the Hashkama to learn early in the morning. Even if Friday night you don't have any kaiches, and even if you're not the kind of person that gets up early Shabbos morning, regular, just you go to sleep Friday night, and you still have Shabbos. You still have this Shabbos Kedoshim. 3 hours, 4 hours, because most people finish before 2:30. Most people finish by 1:30. 4 or 5 hours. Then you ask yourself at the end of, after Shabbos is finished, okay, so there was, let's say, 3 to 4 hours, 3 to 5 hours, not even Friday night and Shabbos Hashkama. Not, I'm talking about just Shabbos afternoon. So what did I do? How did I use those 3-4 hours of Shabbos? Day. How did I use them? If a person is in the parish of Dittel Torah, he has to understand that if he's serious and takes Yiddishkeit seriously, that there's a reason for the Yisuri Gehenim that he's feeling in his life. Now, that's, I think, the nicest way to put it. That's what Kook is saying. Ashlich Noisel Gehenim. So you could have Gehenim even on Shabbos, right? It's possible. Even though this person will tell you, I came out of Shabbos Kedoshim, I slept for 2.5-3 hours, I slept 2.5-3 hours. It's the only Parshas Kedoshim you'll ever have Tavshin Ayin Aleph. There'll never be again Parshas Kedoshim Tavshin Ayin Aleph ever again. And Bechlal, we don't know if we're going to live another day or two. But But Tavshin Ayin Aleph Parshas Kedoshim, finished. That's it. All the Rashi's, all the Rambans, all the Sforanos, all the Kedushas Levi, all the Noam HaMelech, finished. All the Pirkei Avos, the Rabbi Tanura, Taisis Yantiz, whatever you like, whatever safe you like on Pirkei Avos, finished. Kedoshim Tavshin Ayin Aleph begins tonight, sundown, sunset. It begins. Those who are able Erev Shabbos have time. Achas Kama V'Kama have time. So we're making it a Shabbos to try to get out of Gehenna. A Gan Eden Dika Shabbos, which brings together what we were learning this morning. That's what we're learning about Gan Eden, the Shabbos, and what we're talking about now. The Mitzvah, we should be zeichet to taste it and to live it.